Well, he tonight is one of his favorite kids. He's going to share thoughts with us. And he had such a busy week, he almost said, uh-oh, there comes Spencer. Watch it, everybody. Uh-oh. Careful, everybody. Yikes, it's Spencer.
Are we good?
So he almost, and I said, oh, it was fine. He said, no, I have some thoughts to share. But you know, I think this young man has been in my heart for so many years now that I claim him to be my son. I don't remember him in diapers, but I might be just unforgetful. Because I claim him. And most everybody here loves him just like I do. Only if you're a guy, he can't be his mother. I claim that first. Dennis O'Donnell.
Thank you, Millie. Oh, they look like they're going around.
I got a question first.
What is this word? It must be French, but they're talking about the Easter parade on Park Avenue. Photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the rotogravure. Is that like a rototiller, or what is a rotogravure?
It's an old-fashioned camera.
It's a camera?
In the olden days. It's just something to make
her
avoid that question.
Well, rototiller and Easter bonnets, somehow that goes together in my brain. But, you know, Millie called me at 3:30 today. I'm driving in my car. It's busy. And she asked if I want to have dinner before the forum, which she frequently does. And oftentimes I do. And then in the midst of this invitation, she said something about my talk tonight. And I said, oh, crap. Millie says, oh, don't do that. She says, we could just have an all message service. Well, I figured I'd split it down the middle, so I'm going to talk a little bit. And then we'll have some extra messages. And I want to leave time for Millie to open up her birthday presents and have cake and stuff. But, very quickly, everybody here pretty much knows me, and many of you have seen me the last few weeks. I want to thank you all for being really kind to me and gentle with me here the last few weeks. I've been kind of in my stew and kind of feeling a lot of my griefy stuff still, and I kind of go in and out of being a zombie, and the spiritual family that's here, I was reflecting on it here just recently, how you all and how spiritualism works to heal me anyway, especially in situations of grief and sadness. And I think a lot of us came here originally because of some loss and some grief, and it's interesting that many of us stay after we're well and after this environment and this religion and the love that's here heals us. So I'm going to excuse myself here. This is a little bit of a half-baked talk, so I hope it strings together and all and works. And that was a good song. I really liked it. So, you know, briefly, if you don't know, my girlfriend and I split up a few weeks ago a little bit, which generally that doesn't upset my equilibrium too bad. For some reason, this time it has. You know, and then there's been a few other things throughout the week, you know, that's not been too good. Buddy Blue died out of the blue. I don't know if you're into music here locally. That was a sad shock. And, you know, I kind of got to thinking about some old friends and some Indian friends of mine. I was kind of thinking about the springtime and maybe I need to go travel and go visit my old Indian friends and got on the internet and plugged them in, and I kind of had an inkling in the back of my mind that you know, that at least Floyd was very old when I last saw him and probably wasn't with us anymore. And actually found out on the internet that both Floyd and my main medicine man, Melvin Graybear, they both died within a month of each other. So that's kind of... And so anyway, you know, I tend to get a little bit exasperated with God sometimes. I'm not as peaceful and calm as you all. Did anybody see Moses last night on the TV show?
Yeah.
I was watching Moses, and poor Moses was traipsing around in the desert and got all these people to be responsible for, and he's trying to do a good job, and he can't get God to tell him on a regular enough basis what the heck he wants. And the poor guy is just in anguish and exasperation and freaking out. Well, that's the way I get it. And, you know, it's like, what is God thinking? What is he thinking? You know? And how can he do such a thing a lot of the times, you know, when he... I'm finding this pattern in my life with my prayers with God. A lot of times I'll ask for something. Like a few years ago, I was suggested I put God to the test with a spiritual mind treatment. Did I mention this ever before? And I figured I'd dream up the most unlikely thing I could. And I asked for a house that was 15 minutes or less to work and that had good, healthy housemates and that cost $200 or less. I wanted a place in San Diego to live that cost under $200. And I'd be damned if he didn't find me a place for $185. with great, great housemates, enlightened people. I forgot to ask for paint on the wall. No paint on the wall. Underneath the incoming flight path, you know, it has to draw that. And so that's kind of how it works. And, you know, well, yeah, you know. And I asked for an old world girl a few years back, and I got an old world girl, and it was a great relationship, but it was kind of missing, you know, one key ingredient that makes relationships work, you know, and it's like, thanks God, you know, there's just one minor flaw in the answer to this prayer, and surely it's not my fault, you know, I mean, what is God thinking here? So, and of course, on a more serious note, when he really does take somebody that we love, or, you know, in a situation where, you know, there's dying of the love that we have for someone, you know, that can kind of cause me to really get introspective, let's say. So sometimes I just think that if God ran an airline, I wouldn't get on the plane. I just don't get it. Would you? Remember back in the 70s when they had the fickle finger of fate? Well, sometimes when I get into moods like this, it turns into like the fickle finger of faith. And my faith in God and, you know, the very bedrock of foundation gets a little thin and wobbly. So I kind of have been in that loss of faith and trust situation here just recently. You know, and I'm kind of from Missouri. I need it to be shown to me, and I need to see it on a regular basis. Grateful Dead have a song about it. I need a miracle every day. And if I don't get it, I start to get wobbly. So, and you know, I never learned how to do grief and loss very well as a kid. A lot of us don't. I mean, it was very much a stuff it kind of go isolate somewhere and, you know, come back when you're feeling better kind of a you know, don't worry, time will heal it. You know, a whole lot of those kind of sayings and myths that don't really get to the heart of the matter a lot of the times. And one of the I don't know if it's definition of grief, but causes of grief, and I don't know that it comprises the whole component, but one of the key components of grief is, it's suggested that it's an accumulation of undelivered communications. An accumulation of undelivered communications. And if you isolate and stuff stuff, you tend to have a lot of those. So, I want to thank you all, because among this community, it's hard to sit in isolation for very long without somebody coming up and kind of sitting and encouraging you to talk or share a little bit. And very, very little of that platitudinal kind of don't worry, it'll get better and time will heal, you know. Just, it's nice to just have folks just offer to listen and to be there compassionately. And you know, I had a chance the other night to sit with Millie. And Millie has the most unending capacity to sit in love with somebody in a zombified state. You know, most of us, we can do it for a few minutes if we need to really stretch, you know. For somebody we really love, we'll put forth 45 minutes, 50-minute hour maybe. But Millie gives a lot. And so I'm kind of sitting there, and I'm moaning and groaning and whining and complaining, and why is God so cruel, and how can he do such things, and if you ever had a chance to sit with Millie leisurely, a lot of times she'll get her Bible out. She'll start thumbing through the Bible, and all of a sudden she'll stop and look at it, and then she'll come up and she'll ask you some kind of a question, or she'll read it to you, and she'll say, well, you know, what do you think about that? And pretty soon she starts leading you down this merry path. And she kind of gets on your wavelength and starts reading you a little bit. So she did this the other night. She starts reading, and she starts asking me questions. You know, she sees things. Like, you know, have you ever been to jail? Now, Millie always says the spirit never tells anything you don't want told. But maybe my angels just aren't editing quite right. They're getting real close to the line anyway. She says, you know, a little bit later, she says, now I know you were in a car accident and hurt your hip, but you know, I forget exactly. You know, I see you in a, you know, I see you in a ditch. And did you have more than one car accident? It's like, yeah, okay. So she goes on like this for a little while, you know. And it begins to dawn on me again that maybe God is watching, and maybe God does know what's going on. And she tells me about this thing she's seeing in her eyes, about this car driving down a mountain road, and I appear to be completely asleep at the wheel, quite literally. And she says, somebody was driving that car for you. And actually, I can remember a couple, three times when somebody was driving the car for me. And so she says these things to me, and I begin to think and have to think that maybe God is watching, and maybe he does hear me, and maybe he does know what I need. And maybe he should be flying the plane, maybe, and it shouldn't be my airline, it should be his airline. I think about spiritualism and the giving of messages and how wonderfully clear and how strong the proof is that there's communication in both directions, from us to spirit and from spirit to us. And that there really is no reason why, even with God Almighty, why there has to be any undelivered communications. And, you know, not right away, of course, but the next day or so, I started thinking about all this and started feeling somewhat better and stronger and more secure in my faith yet once again, and kind of can go ahead and skip on down the yellow brick road and feel good. So that's what's on my mind tonight. Thanks for listening, and let's get on with the festivities.